together to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Last week, we talked about the Bible. We talked about how it is the ultimate guide to life. If you were here, you remember that. We made the point that the Bible, we can liken it to having insider information on life. We saw how all the Scripture can be described as, and is described by the Bible, as God-breathed. That's what that word inspired means. These are God-breathed words. We talked together last time about how God's words are accurate, and they are absolutely authoritative over us, and they're profitable. Scripture tells us they're profitable for us, profitable for other people. In fact, the Scripture says the Scriptures can make us adequate. We say, well, adequate doesn't sound that impressive. But consider what it does. It's a remedy for all of our inadequacies. You ever felt inadequate for something? The Scripture says, I will take away your inadequacy and make you adequate. Now that word sounds wonderful. The Word of God can then equip us for all the work that God has given to us. And now we shift over and move over into chapter 4, and we see that the mission that God has given us comes back into view. So yeah, we've been talking about this great foundation we have in the Scriptures and what it can do. But now we see we have a mission. We're to take this Word that is wonderful, this treasure God has given us, and we are to proclaim it to other people. Let's look together the first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, here it is, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Here we look at this passage and there is one primary command here. Did you notice it? It is there to preach the word. Certainly this takes us beyond just believing it and affirming it. Oh, we're to preach it. It takes us beyond even just reading it and personally benefiting from it. We have a command. What do we do with the Scripture? We are to share it with other people. So we see in the Scripture, here is our life foundation and here is our life message. God has spelled it out for us here. Now, the first recipient of this was Timothy himself. And you remember Timothy. He's the lead pastor there in Ephesus. And it was a troubled church. And the trouble was coming because of all these false teachers. And so he was to combat all that by consistently preaching the truth of God's word. And so Paul's reminding him here, Timothy, make sure you stay rooted in the truth of God's word. And make sure in all the other ministry things you might do, make sure that you have kept at its first place your primary responsibility of preaching the truth of God's word. You and I look at our ministry and we think, we do a lot of stuff. A lot of wonderful ministries go on around here. And here's a word for us. And all the great things that God has called us to do, let's make sure that we don't lose somewhere in there the preeminent responsibility that we proclaim together the word of God. And so we take to heart this as well. This word is important for us. It does amazing things in us individually. The Word of God, because of what it is, does amazing things in us as a church. And this is the message we confidently share with other people. Now notice here, he doesn't merely say, preach. Specifically, Paul tells Timothy, as the Spirit guides him, preach the Word. And that's significant. Because you and I have heard a type of preaching in other places where it's just preaching, but they're not preaching the Word. You ever heard it? I've heard it many times in my life. I remember in college, my buddy and I must not have had a ride to church that day. And we thought, well, what do we do? It's Sunday morning. We want to go to church. The one within walking distance is the one right here on our campus, this historic, old, formal church. And the reputation of this church was dead and theologically liberal. And so we thought, well, let's go. Let's go find out for ourselves. And so we walk to the church there on our campus. And in there, it was as bad as advertised. Very stuffy and formal. And then the sermon came. And the Reverend Dr. So-and-so got up in all his formality. And he gave a talk. And I suppose it might have come across a bit sophisticated and all that. Here's what I remember all these years later. I remember him quoting from Thoreau. I remember him quoting a little bit from Shakespeare. I don't recall if there was any mention of the scriptures. There might have been a passing reference to a text, but he gave his talk. I'm not sure what it was about. Perhaps it was about being kind to others. I don't disagree with the message. But there's an example of preaching that's not preaching the word. And I wish I could say, you know, that only happened a long time ago, back when I was in college, in that one particular unusual church. But we've all experienced it in places. I remember it was a number of years ago now, I was getting these emails about, hey, pray for this sister church this week and this sister church the next week. And so one of those weeks, I pulled up the email and there was a link to their website. And so I linked and went over there. And then I had a little time. I thought, well, let me just hear a little bit of the sermon. What's being preached there? And it was very unusual. So the pastor gave his text, and it was a fine text of scripture. And then when he started to talk, he actually made up a story about an aged priest and his wife, and he said it in biblical times, and he preached his fictional story. I mean, why would you do that? And the Word of God's amazing. Why wouldn't you preach the text? Why would you make up a story and preach your story? I wish that were so unusual. In fact, more recently, I was sent a link to a sermon by a prominent church here in town, and the man preached, but he did not preach the word. He took on the topic of one of the major moral issues of our day. And instead of preaching what God has to say on that, he talked about polling his deacons and asked his deacons, what do you guys think about this topic? And he talked about what they said. And then he talked about what the Supreme Court said and talked about that. And he talked about being kind and loving. And listen, I don't doubt his sincerity that he wants to be kind, he wants to be loving, but he didn't preach the word. In fact, he actually neglected the word. God has spoken to those topics, and he avoided that, actually then spoke a message opposed to what God had revealed. Listen, there's a kind of preaching that's not preaching the word. You and I say, I would dare not do that. As a body of believers, as individuals who take up this word, as each of us have an opportunity to influence others, how are we going to influence? We say, I take up the word. I've been benefiting from the scriptures. I want to share this with others. If you would admit with me, you and I cannot improve upon this. We never dream of coming with an alternate message to what God himself, who loves us, has preserved and given to us. And so you and I have settled a long time ago, we will preach and proclaim this amazing treasure, this word God has given to us. Now we might ask the question, all right, why would I do that? Why would I be motivated to lock into the Word of God and make this my life message? Well, let's talk about several reasons why that come out of our text. First of all, because of what the Word of God is. We're committed to preaching the Word because of what the Word of God is. Remind yourself of what we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just look up just a few verses, and let's look again at this amazing description of the Scriptures. Verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We say, I'll preach this message, I'll preach this word, because these are God-breathed words. I won't deviate to the right or left. In fact, think about what audacity it would be if we said, oh yes, we have the words of God. Now let's hear what everybody else thinks on the topic. Why would we do that? We say, no, we have the very words of God. And because these are the words of God, oh, this is what I, with great delight, want to convey to people that I care about. And so, yes, I will preach this word because of what it is. In fact, let me ask this. Does the word of God have a preeminent place in your life? When it comes to truth, when it comes to whom you will allow to influence you, has the Word of God taken its rightful place because of what it is? These are God's words. I've told you before, I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, and you probably do too. I find a lot of encouragement there. I love seeing the pictures and all that, but then there's a heavy level of annoyance there, and then I find myself buffeted at times by the various trends and messages. In particular, you got a lot of voices out there who want to tell you how to do Christianity, how to do church. And so there are these 8 reasons why you ought to do church this way, 7 reasons why you ought to do church this way. Here's this guy's preference and that guy's preference. Here's what I'm becoming convinced of. The bloggers are like newspapers, and they have deadlines, and their job is to crank out articles because that's how their ministry goes. And so whether or not it's valuable enough, whether or not it's really that helpful, they're churning out articles. And we become suckers for that. At least I did for a time. Ooh, three things that might destroy my church. I better read those that I might not destroy my church. And I read those and think, I already knew that. And then go over here. Oh, eight things you better do or you're going to lose a whole generation. I already knew that. And so he says, time waster is exhausting. Again, I feel buffeted. This guy's opinion. Maybe I need this guy's opinion. And I finally was like, enough, enough. Your perspective might be good, might have even been helpful at times, but who's going to have the preeminent, influential place in my mind? It has to be God's word. These are the God-breathed words, and everybody has an opinion and all that. Fine. And so here's what I'm coming back to. All right, God, you take the preeminent place. I'll listen to you. I'm not unteachable. A lot of things I need to learn. I want your spirit to guide, and then I will certainly analyze our ministry and how can we be more effective. Let's do that together, and I'll find a few trusted people that I might listen to outside of that. But listen, let's make sure we have in our preeminent place of influence the very word of God. So we say we'll proclaim this word because of what it is. It's God's word, and we'll proclaim his word because of what it does. It's his word that leads to salvation, right? Didn't we see that in verse 15 of chapter 3? From childhood, you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom, here it is, that leads to salvation, which is in faith through faith in Christ Jesus. So, I wouldn't want to preach anything else than God's message from God's word, because this is what leads people to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said this in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We say, these are the words that are powerful. Or how about what we saw before in Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God, listen to what it is and what it does. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Why would I preach anything else when God's word can do this? You ever wanted to influence somebody you love dearly? They don't love God. They don't know him. And everything in you longs for them to know Jesus like you know him. Oh, if they could just understand. And you try, and you just can't get in there. You ever been frustrated about it? I can't get in their head. I can't make them think what they really need to think, and I can't get in their heart. So frustrating. And then we remind ourselves, but God's word can go there. God's word can go there. God can judge their thoughts. God can bring about change and conviction. And of course, they need to respond to that, but we say, I will take up your word gladly because of the power in it. So I love the word of God because of what it is and what it does in bringing people to salvation, but also building people up. Again, he talked about how this will equip us for every good work. So again, first reason, why then will I preach the word? Because of what it is, what it does. Secondly, because of who it is that's called us to do it. Because of who it is who is sending us, therefore I will preach his word. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Here, this is the real force of the passage. And I want you to consider with me, Paul could not have used any stronger words than he used here in verse 1. He said, listen to this, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. And then he says, go preach the word. These are strong words. These are familiar words to a lot of us, but I just want you to pause. This Monday, as I was going into study, I read these words with fresh eyes, and I felt the full force of these. That in light of who God is, Paul said, Timothy, don't even consider preaching anything other than his message. This is God's word. He is God. Notice he even goes to judge here. A lot of people talk about only God can judge me, but they don't really mean it. But here he goes. He goes here, and God is your judge. You're in his presence. Of course, be faithful, preach his word. And he reigns as king, and he's going to set up his eternal kingdom in its fullness. He's a returning one. In light of these dizzying, wonderful, profound truths about God, Timothy, preach the word. Can you imagine preaching anything else in light of that? You couldn't hear all that. He's your king, he's your judge, he's your God, you're in his presence. And no, I'm not going to preach his word. It's an unthinkable thing to do in light of this. And so it brings to mind here, you and I need a healthy awe and fear of God, don't we? Do you have that in your life? An awe of God, a fear of God that inspires in you obedience to God. Listen, this is not in contrast. This is no contradiction to the grace we swim in as followers of Jesus Christ, is it? I mean, we know that through Jesus Christ, we don't fear condemnation for God. We learned that in Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we rest in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you also describe with me, walking with Jesus, even in a difficult world, is a joy. Oh, he floods us with peace. He gives us guidance. It's awesome. And so we're not talking about contrasting that. We're not throwing that aside. But in addition to the intimacy and love and joy we have in Jesus, don't you also have a corresponding fear of God? You say, can that even be compatible? Can I fear him and adore him at the same time? Absolutely. And the Bible is full of examples. Think about with me. How about Moses? Didn't Moses have that kind of walk with God? I mean, he loved him. He was amazed that God would draw him close, but he never got over, this is God we're talking about. He's awesome. I don't trifle with this amazing God who has drawn me into relationship. Do you have that? Or how about David? Didn't David have that? He danced before God. He wrote these beautiful psalms and about his relationship with God. It's awesome. It's intimate. But he never lost sight of the fear and awe of how great God is. Isaiah certainly had it. Let me give you an example. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 1. Hold your place here. We're coming back. But Jeremiah chapter 1, I want you to see how Jeremiah processed this. Because he was amazed at God's calling, but he feared God. And it showed up big in his proclamation of the word. Jeremiah 1, we'll pick up in verse 4. Hear this with me. This is the occasion of Jeremiah being called by God to be a prophet. And I want you to see, Jeremiah did not want to do that job. Jeremiah knew, if I am a prophet of yours and I speak your word, people aren't going to like it. People aren't going to like your message, God. He didn't want to do it. So listen how this goes down. Jeremiah 1, 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hey, let's pause there. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We're talking about life. Listen to that again. You might want to mark this in your Bible if you haven't already marked it. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Is this a human being in the womb? Absolutely. God knows these people. He goes on to say, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Let's keep going. And I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, listen to his protest, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. In other words, I don't want to do it. And here's my best excuse. But listen to God reinforce the call to preach the word. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. You hear that? God says, I know that you may not want to do this, but this is it. This is the message. And aren't you glad Jeremiah was wise enough to say, absolutely, I will do it. I will be obedient to you. I fear you. I love you. I can't think of anything other than do what you've called me to do. So we preach this word because of what it is, because of what it does. We preach this word because who it is that calls us and sends us. And then finally, we preach this word regardless of the times. We preach it regardless of the times. And he says this in several ways in our text. First of all, look at verse 2. He says, be ready in season and out of season to preach this word. What does that mean? To preach the word in season and out of season. What that means is this. When the conditions are favorable, preach the word of God. And when the conditions seem unfavorable, preach the same word of God. When it seems easy, preach the word. When it seems difficult, preach the word. And so what he's telling Timothy is stick with it. Times are going to change. Things are going to get difficult at times, but you stick with it. Now, there are some things that you and I flex. There are things you and I shift, and we can talk about style things. As a body of believers, we think like missionaries, right? And so can we flex how we dress? Absolutely. Who cares about that? Can we flex in what direction we sit, what kind of chairs we sit in? Absolutely. Can we change some stylistic things? Absolutely. But what we dare not change is the word of God. Here's the mandate. Preach the word. 1 Peter 1:24 says, the grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. God's word endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. So here's our call. We're going to preach the word no matter what the times may tell us. So here's a call for us to be faithful. In favorable, unfavorable times, advantageous, disadvantageous, advantageous times, we're going to preach the word. Also, he calls us to patience here in verse 2, that we're to reprove and rebuke and exhort with great patience. I like this. There's two aspects to our communicating of the word of God to people. There is reproving and rebuke. It's not so much us doing it, but that's one of the functions of the word of God. We've talked about that, that when you and I meet with God in the word, He has a way of showing us where we're off. And it's a loving thing that we do when we share all of God's word, that we're helping people see, you know, there is an exit ramp off the wrong way. You can take an exit, get back on the right road following the Lord. It's a gracious thing we do when the word reproves and rebukes us. But there's a second function here, and it's exhorting. And we typically like this a little bit better. This is the encouragement that comes from the word of God. And so you and I patiently preach all the word of God, letting it fulfill its function. So we're faithful, we're patient, and we must be strong here. We must be strong. Back in chapter 3, where we're told that in the end times, difficult days will come. Remember that? And he brings up the same idea here. Did you see verse 3 through 5 again? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul said, preach the word regardless of the times. There will come a time when people will say, I don't really want what God's word says. I want to find for myself teachers that will say what I want them to say. Isn't that amazing? That's right there in the word of God to Timothy and to us to benefit from that. It should not be a shock to us that we can run into times like that. Listen, by nature, men would rather be told they are already just fine just like they are. By nature, we just want to hear that message rather. We'd rather have that. By nature, we'd rather hear that our sinful desires should not be repented of. They should be celebrated. By nature. Nobody wants to be corrected. Oh. By nature, men and women do not want to be accountable to God. We want to be accountable to no one. I will live my own life. That's what we want. And so, because of that, most people by nature don't want to transfer leadership of their lives from themselves or anybody else over to the rightful King, Jesus. And so, nevertheless, we bring a message that says, oh, God loves you. And you need to turn from the futility, turn from the rebellion, and you'll find refreshing, you'll find forgiveness, you'll find adoption through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have everlasting life, but nevertheless, there's a trouble here. So people will say, well, I want a different message than that. I want a happy message that puts me at the center of my own universe. Preach me that message. Or preach to me about a God who will not hold me accountable. Preach to me about a God who's not a judge. Tell me about a God who will be an obedient genie to me. And when I want something, I'll pray to him, and he'll dutifully give me what I want. Preach me that message. And it says people will accumulate for themselves teachers that say what they want to hear. And nevertheless to that, he says, be strong, Timothy. Be strong. Preach the word of God. And you and I say, we'll do it. Notice what he says here. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Hey, is this where you are resolute? Would you agree with me? Oh, I can't improve upon the word of God. I will build my life on what God has so lovingly revealed. I trust it. I will build my life here. And would you also say, and I'm resolute, that yes, using grace and tact and love, I'm going to speak this truth to people. Building my life on it, and this is my message. And the gospel that this contains, I want to share with my neighbors and everybody else. I would not turn from this message to anything else. Is that your conviction? One final word before we go. We've said that this word can point to salvation. And I want to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. You might be here, it's your first time here, or maybe you've been here a few times, and you've been sensing that things are not right between you and God, and you recognize there's sin and rebellion, and you think, what do I do? Am I too far gone? Could God forgive me? I want to tell you, by authority of this word, God loves you. And he can help you have a brand new life. You can be born again today, the scripture says. And it's all through Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you on the cross. A perfect one died for you. Think of it. And he was raised up on the third day. He took the penalty for all your sins so that if you trust in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Listen, so today that's your move. Jesus, I put my faith in you. I turn from all else. I put my trust in you. You're the only one who can rescue. You can save me. And then you already know what your next move is. And then, Lord, you as my Savior, I will follow your word. I've already got the rest of my life set out in front of me. You lead the way. I'll trust you and walk this walk of faith through your word. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for